Beisa Daf Zion. We are rounding out a discussion regarding eggs. The beginning of the Masechta opened up with the status of an egg that is laid on Yantav, Machlokes Bisham and Beis Hillel, as to whether or not it would be permissible to eat such an egg. Bishitas Beis Hillel is that it is aser. And from the first Daf of the Masechta, Daf Beis, all the way to today's Daf, so the Gemara is talking about various aspects regarding the egg, mostly in the context of Yantav, as we'll see in the course of today's Daf. We're going to be expanding our discussion, not just limited to Yantav, but other areas regarding eggs as well. A statement made by Rav Huna Amarav, which is found in the middle of Avam and Beis. I'm Rav Huna Amarav. We started it yesterday. And the statement is extraordinarily cryptic. Beitza, if you have an egg, im yitziasa nigmara. So when it emerges from its mother, in other words, when it's laid, so then at that point in time, it has reached completion. That's the statement, and the Gemara is struggling to find out what exactly he means by that. So yesterday we already went through one pshat. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that the moment that it comes out of the mother, at that point in the egg, at that point in time, the egg is deemed to be parv and not fleshik. That's the suggestion, but the Gemara ended up rejecting that. We do have a tradition that even the eggs in utero at a certain stage of development is in fact considered parv. So it's just simply not correct. It's not accurate. So Ella. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We are looking at the Gemara last narrow line on Vav Amud Beis. So this is now going to be the second suggestion in terms of what is meant by Rav Huna Amarav. So im yitziasa nigmara umutas la'achla b'yantav. So if it emerges, so then it's going to be concluded and completed, and therefore you're allowed to eat on yantav. Now this is Rashi's Girsa of the Gemara. It's our Girsa of the Gemara and Rashi's Girsa of the Gemara. That, of course, is extraordinarily difficult because, as we've established already from the beginning of the Masechta, so if it is laid on Yantav, it's going to be Aser. That Shita is Beis Hillel, and obviously we follow that Shita. So the way Rashi understands it over here, based on our Girsa, is that what the Gemara means is that if it comes out before Yantav, so at that point in time now it's a completed product, and therefore you're allowed to eat it on Yantav. Now, implied in that, and the Gemara spells it out, Habimeiman Asura La'achla B'Yantav. However, if it was fine inside, in other words, it wasn't laid, but rather it was harvested from the animal, from the bird after it was shechted. So it's at that point in time that it is going to be usher. To which the Gemara says, now is that true? V'atayin, now we learned in a braisa. Hashochet is the tanagolos and matzabal beisim gemoros motaros lachlam biyamtav. So already, we went over this braisa at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis, and we get to review it now again. And that is that if you shecht a hen, and you harvest the eggs that were inside, so you're allowed to eat them on yantav. In other words, you shechted the hen on yantav, you harvested the eggs inside on yantav, so you're allowed to eat it. So the statement, as understood now, our second attempt of understanding Rav Huna and Amarav, is just simply not correct. And maybe what you could suggest is that maybe the Bryce is saying something that is not found in a Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah doesn't agree with it. But the Gemara to that says, no, I reject that as well. Hanami Tanina, we learned this in a Bryce as well. So we go back to our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, where if you have an egg laid on Yantav, so according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to eat it. According to Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to eat it. V'ad kalo pligi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel ela benolda. Now, the only debate that takes place in the Mishnah is where the egg is laid on Yantav. Ava b'me'iman, but if implied in the Mishnah is that if you were to shech the hen and harvest the eggs that were inside, so that would be mutter. Ava b'me'iman devra kok shayra. So that would be the clear implication of the Mishnah. And so now, basically, we have a Braisa and we have a Mishnah, the implication of the Mishnah that is in perfect alignment with what we saw in our Mishnah. So at this point in time, we're all in agreement. And the Gemara tries to push back just a little bit and says, well, maybe according to Shita's Beis Hillel, not only are the eggs going to be Asra if they're laid, but even if they're found inside, meaning even if they're harvested inside. And V'haidikani nolda, and so then if that's true, so then why would the Mishnah focus on the case where the egg is laid, if in fact, according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be prohibited whether the egg was laid or it was harvested from a shechted hen. So why would the Mishnah give the example of whether it was laid? So lo dicha kochan de Beis Shammai, in order to highlight the position of Beis Shammai, de'afilo nolda namishare. Not only is the egg going to be mutter when it was harvested from a shechted hen, but it's also going to be mutter when it's born as well. And maybe that's the whole reason why the Mishnah highlighted that particular case. But the Gemara says, Allah had the Tanya. Gemara says, but all this becomes really difficult because we do have a Braisa. And the Braisa reads, Shochetes Satana Golos Matzah Ba'Beitzim Gemuros Matzah Slachlam Yontav. So once again, we go right back to this Braisa, where the Braisa says that if I shecht a hen and harvest the eggs inside, it's going to be mutter. So now, the Braisa, Mani Lo Beishame Velo Beisilo, based on our current suggestion of Beishame Beisilo, so this Braisa follows like neither position. It's not going like Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel, as we currently understand it, is that the eggs are going to be asur whether they were whether they were laid or even if they were harvested inside. And according to our current understanding of Beis Shammai, so it's going to be mutter under those circumstances. So this Braisa would not be going like either position. So it's at this point in time that the Gemara also gives up on this suggestion that there is. That when Rav Huna Amarav made the statement that when the egg emerges, so it's going to be complete, it's going to be finished, and maybe what he meant by that is that if you harvested the egg from inside, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara rejected such a suggestion. Again, the simple reading of the Mishnah and the clear reading of the Braisa reject such a suggestion. So Ella. So the Gemara says, okay. So here we go now with another attempt, another try of understanding what Rav Huna Amarav meant. We are two lines on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Ela im yisiasa nigmara, u'megadela sefrochin, b'me'ima eina megadela sefrochin. So the Gemara says, Pshat goes like this. When the egg is a fertilized egg, so if it is fully developed inside the hen, and it goes through the natural process of being laid by the hen, so it's at that point in time that fertilized egg, now being that it is a finished product, can actually develop into a viable chick. On the other hand, if the egg was harvested from a shechted hen, and even though it was close to conclusion, but it wasn't, it didn't reach full maturation, i.e. it wasn't laid by the hen, so that fertilized egg will not result in a chick. And the Gemara says, L'mayin nafka minhu, now practically speaking, what difference would it make? So l'mekar chomemkar. So it would make a difference in terms of buying and selling. So the Gemara gives the following example. Let's say a potential buyer is now looking for eggs, and he makes it very clear. He wants to buy an egg that was laid by a hen, meaning not an egg that was harvested from a shechted hen, but an egg that was laid, a fertilized egg that was laid. So yavulei bei deshchuta. Now, as far as the seller is concerned, so the seller sold him an egg. Now the seller deceptively sold him an egg that was harvested from a shechted hen. So also coming to Rabbi Ami, Amalu Mekach Tosu V'Hadar. So the question came in front of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says that this is a classic example of Mekach Tosu, and it has to be refunded. The sale is voided. Now it's at this point in time the Gemara says good. So that's the halacha based on the fact that there is a real difference between an egg which is laid, a fertilized egg which is laid, versus a fertilized egg which is harvested. And the egg which is laid can produce a viable chicken, and a harvested egg cannot produce a viable chicken because of this real difference. So therefore, when the sale promotes one type of egg, and meanwhile, what was sold is the other type of egg, so this falls into the category of Mekach Tos, to which the Gemara says to all that, makes a lot of sense, it's kind of obvious, Pshita. So isn't this really obvious? So Ma'u Detema, the Gemara says, not necessarily, Haila Achila Kabai Lahu. So maybe the truth of the matter is the buyer wasn't interested in raising chicks. Maybe the buyer was interested in eating it. I have a high dekama de pachya. So why is he asking for an egg that was laid? Meaning if all he's interested in doing is eating it, so protein is protein. What difference does it make whether the egg was harvested from a shechted hen or whether the egg was laid? It shouldn't matter if all he was interested in doing was eating it. Is mishum detzrivan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the egg that was laid has gone through full development. And because it's gone through full development, so as a result of that, it is just simply going to be a better egg in quality. And lamai nafkamin lamais v'lei bina baini. And so at this point in time, so maybe if the entire issue over here is predicated on an egg that is of a better quality than the other egg, and but when all said and done, the only thing that was really shortchanged on the sale was just the quality of the egg, so maybe the refund doesn't have to be a full refund. Maybe the entire sale is not voided. The refund is just simply going to be the difference between the higher grade egg and the lower grade egg. So that's a havamina, and the chiddush is no. The chiddush is that since he asked specifically for an egg which was laid as opposed to harvested, so we are therefore left to assume that the reason why he was asking for that is because he wanted to raise chicks, and because when he was sold an egg that was just simply incapable of producing a chick, So therefore, this is a mekach taos, and therefore, it is going to be refunded. A full refund, meaning the sale is going to be voided. The Gemara tells a similar story. A person was asking to buy an egg, but specifically a fertilized egg, right? The Gemara's terminology over here is bay de dichra, literally the egg of a male. Of course, it doesn't mean the egg that is being laid by a male. It means that an egg that was fertilized by a male, by a rooster. So bay de dichra laman. So yavale bay de safna meara. And so now in the sale, so the seller sold him an unfertilized egg. Now, asla coming to Rabbi Ame. And once again, the question was posed, Rabbi Ame amar lehu mekachtosu v'hadar. And his answer, again, really decisive and really clear, and this is a mekachtos, and therefore it has to be refunded. Pshita, the Gemara says, now this is also obvious, ma'ad detema. Hayla achila kabay lehu v'hayde kamer didichra mishum deshaminan tfei. L'may nafkamina l'mesfei lebe nebini. And again, the Gemara proposes over here that maybe the nafkamina is that really what the seller wanted, what the buyer wanted is the buyer just simply wanted a higher quality egg. Meaning he was really interested in eating it. He wasn't interested in raising chicks. And by the way, just as a parenthetical note, it's pretty obvious from our Gemara over here that a fertilized egg is not only edible, but you're allowed to eat it. And obviously it begs the question, well, if there is a chick that is developing and growing inside, so what about the chicken side? And what you have to say is that we're talking about a really early stage of fertilization where the chick is really not yet a significant part of that which is inside. Anyway, so what you could have argued, let's just go back to the half a minute, what you could have argued is that he was asking for a fertilized egg just simply because it's a better quality. But he wasn't really interested in raising chicks. That's the argument you could have made, and therefore it doesn't demand a full refund of the sale. We're not voiding the whole sale, but rather just the difference between a lower quality egg and a higher quality egg. And Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no. The Chiddush is that a full refund is demanded since he asked for a fertilized egg, and the seller did not sell him a fertilized egg, but rather an unfertilized egg. So we can assume that this is now going to be a complete breakdown of communication between buyer and seller, and therefore the wholesale is going to be voided. So, just to make sure that we are all clear at this point in time, we have successfully offered a pshat. Rav Huna Merav, going back to yesterday's daf, said that when the egg emerges, it is nigmara; it is now completed. It's a concluded product. And the Gemara now tried out three different explanations. The first two, the Gemara did not end up liking. But the third explanation the Gemara appreciated, and that is, what's the difference between whether the egg is laid versus whether it is harvested inside of a shechted hen? So the difference is that an egg is laid, which is able to produce a chick. And if it's harvested inside, even if it's a fertilized egg, it just simply has not yet reached full maturation where it is able to develop and to produce a chick. And in terms of a practical difference, mekach u'memkar, in terms of a sale. This is all but one explanation of Rav Huna Merav. The Gemara is going to try out two more explanations. So maybe another possibility of what is meant is that if the egg emerges, not the entire egg, but the majority of the egg emerges, so at that point in time, halacha views it as if it has in fact been laid. And even if it subsequently retreats into the mother and comes at a later point in time, nevertheless, at the earlier point when it came out in its majority, the halacha views it as if it is been a laid hen. And if you recall, we already quoted this halacha of Rav Yochanan earlier. That would mean then that according to Rav Yochanan, if most of it came out before Yantiv, even though it retreated and only re-emerged on Yantiv itself, it's still going to be mutter because halacha views it as if it was laid before Yantiv. So uchid Rav Yochanan dam Rav Yochanan beitzashiyatsa ruba me Rav Yantiv v'chazra muteris la'achla bi Yantiv. Okay, and exactly what we just said. That's the halacha of Rav Yochanan. That could be the statement of Rav Huna Merav. Or to put it in simple terms, Rav Huna Merav is just simply agreeing with Rav Yochanan. Another possibility, v'ika da'amra, my imitzias ha'nigmara, imitzias kula nigmara. Now here in this suggestion of the Gemara, it's basically going to be the same point, but over here, not that he agrees with Rav Yochanan, but just the opposite, that he disagrees with Rav Yochanan. Meaning that when he says that the egg has to emerge, and when it emerges, then only upon emergence, is it considered that it's a laid egg? That's only when all of it comes out, and that would mean that he disagrees with Rav Yochanan. And that obviously is going to be not in agreement with Rav Yochanan. Adkan, that takes us now through a good part of the daf, the statement of Rav Huna Marav that started in yesterday's daf, where he said that when the egg emerges, it's considered nigmar, it's considered completed, concluded. And what exactly is the completion upon emergence of the egg? So the Gemara tried out five different pshatim. The first two the Gemara ended up rejecting. But pshatim number 3, 4, and 5, the Gemara accepted. But keep in mind, though, that pshat number 4 is the opposite of pshat number 5. In pshat number 4, it's that Rav Huna Marav is agreeing with Rav Yochanan. And pshat number 5, it's Rav Huna Marav is rejecting that of Rav Yochanan. We are in Zion Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. Gufa. Hashokas the Tanaglos Matzabah Beitim Gemurus Matarus L'Achlam B'Chalav. Rav Yaakov Omer Im Hayum Uros Beginim Asuros. So we're going to go back to a brisa that we saw yesterday, and the Gemara wants to revisit it, and the Gemara just wants to spend a little bit more time analyzing this brisa. A machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yaakov, that when you shech the hen and you find an egg inside, is the egg going to be considered parv? As we pointed out yesterday, eating the meat of a chicken together with milk is an Isser de Rabbanan. The Chachamim extended the Isser of Basar B'Chalav to chicken for the fact, seemingly, I mean, it's kind of an obvious point. The Gemara never really spells it out, but predicated on the fact that the chicken meat is very similar to that of the meat of a cow. And so therefore, if we get comfortable with eating chicken and milk together, it would lead to eating meat and red meat and milk together. And so therefore, the Chachamim extended Basar B'Chalav to that of a chicken. However, the extension of the Isser Basar B'Chalav is only for the chicken, but not for the egg. Meaning once the egg is laid, so then the egg is not going to be, is not going to fall under that. The egg is viewed as a separate entity from the chicken and not going to be included in the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. That's what we pointed out yesterday. And now, just going back to the brisa that we mentioned yesterday, but the Gemara is going to spend a little bit more time with it. What if the egg was not laid, but rather it was discovered in a shechted hen? So these eggs now, are they going to have the status of being fleishik, being that they were still attached to the actual physical body of the hen? Or no, or in other words, by virtue of the fact that that's an egg, and it basically has the full shape of an egg, so the Chachamim did not include that in the Gzera of Basar B'Chalav, and therefore you're allowed to eat that together with milk. So this is a machlokas in the brisa between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yaakov. The Tanakhama says that when you find eggs inside, and presumably according to the Tanakhama, that would be even if the eggs still have some sort of connective tissue to the hen, the eggs are going to be deemed parv. That's the shita of the Tanakhama. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov says no, that if the hens are if the eggs are physically connected to the mother, so then the eggs are going to have the status of being fleishik, and you're not allowed to eat that together with milk. Good. So that's the brisa. So we have basically a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yaakov. Mantalan had the Tan Rabbanu. So the Gemara says, okay, let's learn together a brisa, and let's see if we can fit now which shita of the two that we just learned, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yaakov, which fits in better with the brisa. Now, before we see the brisa inside, a brief word of introduction. Generally speaking, when you talk about the transmission of tumah, so tumah can be transmitted through maga, touching, masa, carrying, or ohel, or being under the same roof. Now, it depends on what the source of the tumah is, and now is not a great time to go through all the various forms of an ava tumah, of the sources of tumah, but right now, we're just highlighting that we're going to be discussing none of the above. We're not talking about maga, nor masa, nor ohel, but rather what we're going to be talking about in the course of this brisa is the consumption of nivlas of tahor. That if one were to eat the carcass of a kosher bird that did not receive a shechita, in other words, it's an avela, so one is going to become tamei by eating it, by consumption, by achila. So this is unique, this is unusual within the world of tumah, that transmission comes about through not maga, not masa, not ohel, but rather through achila. It is also interesting because obviously you're not allowed to eat the nevela of an oaf. Eating the nevela of an oaf is an issa d'oraisa. Okay, but right now, just leave that aside because obviously that's not our focus. Our focus right now is on the tumah that's created when in fact you eat it. So when you eat the nevela of an of tahor, so not only are you violating an isser, which is not our focus, but you're also going to become tameh as well through this very unique transmission of tumah called achila. Now, in order to become tameh, So you have to eat the nevela of an oftara. It has to fall under the category of being a nevela. This brisa is going to give pretty clear demarcations of what is considered a nevela, what is not considered a nevela. So let's start. Ha'ocha menivlas oftar. So if you eat from the nevela of oftar, min ha'shalshal beitzim. Now we'll assume that shalshal beitzim right now means the cluster of eggs that are found inside of the bird. Min ha'samos, or from the or from the bones, min ha'gidim, or from the sinews, min ha'basar, shenitlash min ha'chai, or from from any meat, any muscle that was pulled off while the animal was still alive. So in all these cases, tahor, you're not going to become tummy. Now again, just to make sure that we're clear, we're not talking about isra v'hetar right now. We're just talking about tumah tahara. So if you eat any of the above described parts of the bird, you are going to be tahor, meaning it's not a nevela. Now, if we could just work backwards over here, meat ripped off of an animal, so that's what's called evir menachai. Okay, but it's not a nevela. And going one back from there, gidin, that's the sinews. That's not nevela. Nevela is the meat, the muscle of the animal, and the sinews are not considered nevela. Atzamos are the bones, again, not nevela. Shalosh al beitzim, so that's the eggs. So the really small cluster of eggs that are attached to the bird. So that is not considered nevela. Okay, so already, hopefully we're all thinking now, that would seem to indicate that the eggs, even as they are attached to the mother, are not considered part of the mother. In other words, the brisa over here saying it's not nevela. Hold that thought. We're going to come right back to it in just a moment. Now, min ha'eshkol shel beitzim. Now, if you eat from the eshkol. Now, the eshkol also, I would translate as cluster, but obviously you have to make some sort of distinction between the eshkol and the shalal, because in a moment we're going to learn together that the eshkol is in fact going to be considered nevela. So what's an eshkol? What's a shalal? So right now, let's propose that shalal is the actual eggs of the cluster, and the eshkol is basically talking about anything that connects the eggs to the mother, meaning the actual mass of the cluster itself. So min ha'eshkol shel beitzim, min ha'korkavan, or from the gizzard, uvnei ma'im, or from the intestines, oshim chas ha'chelev, or if let's say you ate the chelev of the bird. Now the word chelev over here, generally speaking, we associate it with an animal and the forbidden parts of the animal. When it comes to a bird, there is no forbidden chelev of a bird. All fats of the bird are mutter to eat. So the word chelev over here just simply means the fats of the bird. So if you liquefy it and you eat it, vigamo, so in all these cases, you're going to be tummy. Meaning that which we just described, the eshkol, the korkavan, the b'nei ma'ayim, and the chelev, so that is all going to fall under the category of nevela, and therefore consumption of these items is in fact going to bring about the tumah, the transmission of tumah of achilas nevela. Okay, so now that we have the brisa in front of us, so now the Gemara is going to analyze. Mantana min ha'shalosh shel beitzim tahor. So the first part of the brisa that says that if I ate the eggs inside, you're going to be tahor. So Amar Rav Yosef to look at Rabbi Yaakov. So presumably, this brisa over here is not going like Rabbi Yaakov. The Ika Rabbi Yaakov Hamar im hayu meurs begidim asuras, because Rabbi Yaakov says that if they are connected, if the eggs inside have physical connection to the mother, so then the eggs are going to be considered fleishik. So one would imagine then that according to Rabbi Yaakov, if they're fleishik, then for sure they're nevela. So the Gemara now assumes that Rabbi Yaakov Rav Yaakov can't be the author of this brisa. So Amalei Abaye Mimai. So Abaye says, I'm not sure if you're right about that. Dilma Adkan Lokamer Rav Yaakov Hasam Alalin Yenisura. It could very well be that fundamentally Rav Yaakov thinks that the eggs are not considered part and parcel of the bird. Even when connected via tissue, connective tissue, are not considered part and parcel of the bird. Now, as far as Isser over here, and we're talking about Basar B'Chalav, so it could very well be that the Chachamim, what they did, is that they extended the gzera to the eggs, even though on principle, fundamentally, they're not part of the mother, but nevertheless, the Chachamim extended the gzera. In other words, we're talking about the Isser Basar B'Chalav, and the Chachamim wanted us to be more sensitive to Isser Basar B'Chalav and extend the gzera to Rabbanan. Aval le'inyan tumah, but as it relates to tumah, lo. So the Chachamim did not extend the gzera vis-a-vis tumah. V'chitim le'inyan tumah nami nigzor. And the Gemara says, why not? Maybe they should. Afushe tumah huva afushe tumah midraban lo mefashina. So the Gemara says, no, because in extending the gzera, so what they would do is that they would create more tuma. And what the Chachamim did not want to do is they did not want to create a gzera that would create more tuma. Okay. Rashi over here addresses a question which hopefully we're all thinking. Certainly, when I read the Gemara, I was wondering. The Chachamim don't want to proliferate tuma and therefore minimize the amount of gzeras as it relates to tuma tahara. So there are a lot of Gemaras out there. The Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos. I think principally, but many Gemaras out there that talk about various gzerah derabbanim that were imposed because of tumah. And so the Gemara over here says that the Chacham didn't want to impose a gzerah on tumah. You don't get that impression when you go through the rest of Shas. So Rashi says over here, it's difficult to fully understand, but Rashi does say over here that to the best degree that they could minimize, they would minimize. Okay. Certainly need to sharpen all this, but it is sensitive to the fact that we do find a lot of zeros by Tum and Tahara. Okay. Anyway, what comes out over here is that we quoted the Braisa regarding Nivlas of Tahor. At first glance, the Braisa is not going like Rabbi Yaakov, and what Abaye suggested is that maybe the Braisa could be going like Rabbi Yaakov, noting that fundamentally the egg is not considered part and parcel of the mother. It just happens to be that the Chachamim made Gzera regarding the Isser Basa Bechalov, did not make Gzera as it relates to Tuma Tahara. This is all round number one in terms of analysis of the Braisa, and now round number two. Iga Da'amri Mantana Min Ashkel Shobesim Tameh. So now in round number two, we're not focusing on the first half of the Braisa, but rather on the second half of the Braisa when talking about eating the Eshkol. So Amr of Yosef Rebbe Yaakov He. The eating of the Eshkol is going like Rebbe Yaakov. Da'amri Imhayu Ma'uros Begunim Asuros. Now, the Gemara is assuming over here that the word Eshkol, now, when I originally presented the Braisa, we said Eshkol was talking about the actual cluster itself, meaning not the eggs at the end of the cluster, but eating the actual mass of cluster. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that's talking about the eggs. And if that's true, so then it is going in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov. Now, at this point in time, I'll just simply say parenthetically, if that's what the Eshkol is, so then what's the shalal? Okay, that requires more clarification. But in the meantime, however, let's just work with what the Gemara thinks Eshkol is. So Amalei Abai Mimai Eshkol Mihanach Detalia Beeshkol Dilma Eshkol Gufe. So the Gemara says, look, Abai says you misunderstood. Eshkol is not talking about the eggs that are at the end of the cluster. The Eshkol is talking about the actual cluster mass, meaning everything but the actual eggs themselves. Now, v'chitem eshkol gufei ma'ala meimra. So, if you're eating the eshkol, so that's basically just an organ of the mother itself. So what's the chiddush? The Gemara says, "Me did have a kork of an avnei ma'ayim." The afagav de basa neno kev de ika inshe de lo achle it's derech lashmunin hachinam kev de ika inshe de lo achle it's derech lashmunin. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, the question may be good, but just go back over the braisa." You notice the Braisa also talked about the gizzard. The Braisa also talked about the intestines. We can ask the same question over there. If they are considered part and parcel of the hen, and so why would the Braisa have to mention them? Because since they're not commonly eaten, so one could have considered that maybe they don't qualify as nevela. And the chiddush is that since they are in fact eaten, granted not with regularity, but since on occasion they're eaten, so therefore they're considered the nevela of the bird. So that's true regarding the gizzard, it's true regarding the intestines, it's also going to be true regarding the actual cluster, the eshkol of the bird. Adkan. So, the Gemara went over the statement that the machlokus that we saw in the Braisa regarding eggs that are located inside of the hen, and the question of whether or not they're parv or whether they are fleshik, machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yaakov. Then a citation of a braisa having to do with the definitions of nivlas of tahar, which parts of the hen are considered nevela, which parts of the hen are not considered nevela, and then a question of whether or not the braisa is sounding more like Rabbi Yaakov or more like the Tanakama. Tanur Rabbanan, Zayin Amud Aleph, 2/3 of the way down. Kosha tashmishu b'yom no la b'yom, kosha tashmishu b'layla no la b'layla, and kosha tashmishu b'yom b'yom v'yom b'layla no la b'yom b'yom u'v'yom b'layla. So over here, it's not an agadic statement, it's a halachic statement with those that sexually reproduce. And notably, anyone who is procreating during the day is going to actually give birth during the day. Any species that are going to be procreating at night are going to actually have their deliver the baby at night, and anyone procreating both during the day and during the night will have the baby either during the day, during the night. And the Gemara just simply fills out who's in each of these categories. So the Gemara describes the hens that only have tashmish during the day, and therefore only are only laying their eggs during the day. And the Gemara over here describes that leif in modern Hebrew is a bat. I don't know if that's right, not right. Either way, there is a species of animals that only procreate at night, and therefore only are delivering their young at night. And Adam v'chol d'damila. And then the rest of those that are involved in sexual reproduction, so where they procreate both during the day and during the night, so therefore they're going to have their child either during the day or during the night. Now, Amar Mar Koma Akol Shetashmisha B'yam Nola B'yam Zetonegolos L'may Nafkamina. So the Gemara says, okay, great observations, certainly interesting. What does this have to do with halacha? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it has to do with halacha. So let's go back to the birds. The birds are only laying their eggs during the day. So the Gemara says, let's bring ourselves to the following scenario. And that is that you checked the nest right before Yantav. And when we say right before Yantav, let's go all the way up to the edge of Yantav, meaning you're even Benish Mashos. So you're in the hen checking for an egg. Obviously, if there's an egg over there, you would like to eat it over Yantav. So again, we all know that if the egg is laid on Yantav itself, it's Osir. If it's laid before Yantav, it's going to be Mutter. So you're right there before Yantav, doing a check, doing an examination, trying to see whether an egg is there. V'lo matzabah beitza. And then you did not find an egg there on Erev Yantav. Ula machresh came, and now the next day you wake up really early in the morning, pre-dawn. Ula matzabah beitza, and you find an egg over there. So now, the question over here, which is really important, where we're not sure what the answer is, when was the egg laid? If it was laid before Yantav, it's Mutter. If it's laid on Yantav itself, means sometime overnight, it's going to be Aser. So the ruling over here of the Gemara is it's going to be Mutter. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, that's hard to imagine. V'halo badak, you did an examination right before Yantav. So emar lo badak yafa yafa. So the Gemara says, well, you didn't check it really well. V'afilo badak yafa. Now let's say you did check it really well, and there really wasn't an egg over there. So what's the explanation? So emar yatsa ruba v'chazra havai uchid rav Yochanan. Well, there is an explanation, a plausible explanation. Now, how likely is it? As we're going to point out, it's not super likely, but it is a plausible explanation, and that is that the egg came out before Yantav in its majority, retreated into the mother, and then came out again sometime overnight. And this was the position of Rav Yochanan, where that egg is going to be deemed as if it was laid before Yantav. And so since that is an explanation, a plausible one, so we're going to go with it. Because since we bank on the fact that we know that the egg cannot be coming out during the night, because again, the principle is that any species that has tashmish during the day can only lay during the day, so the eggs can only lay their eggs during the day. So being that that is a rule that the Gemara fully accepts, so the only plausible explanation now is going to be the scenario of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, now, all this is really interesting, but is it true? Eini v'hamer Rav Yosi ben Shaul amar Rav bada b'kana shatan agol amir Rav Yantav v'lo matzah ba'beitza u'la machrishkim ha'matzah ba'beitza asura. So over here, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, that if this scenario happened where you check the nest right before Yantav, you didn't find an egg, and you've checked the nest the very next morning, even pre-dawn, it's going to be Aser, because presumably the egg was laid at night. So how does the statement of Rav work together with the statement of Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan says that in this scenario it's Mutter, and Rav just told us that in this scenario it's Aser. So the Gemara says that actually we can make Shalom between the two positions. So the Gemara says, in that circumstance over there, it's talking about an unfertilized egg. So in other words, the egg came about, but without a male partner, so there was no tashmish, so therefore, there is no discrimination of whether the egg is going to come out during the day or night. So the Gemara says, wait one second, how do I know in the previous case that the egg was fertilized? So the Gemara says, because there was a rooster. So b'diika zachranami hema ma'ar safna. So the Gemara says, okay, even if there was a rooster around, how do I know that the rooster fertilized the this particular hen? So Amar Ravina, give me your kolayecha diika zach lo safna me'ar. So the Gemara says we have a tradition that when there's a rooster around, so the eggs are going to be fertilized. The rooster was with the hen. The ad kama, the Gemara says, now when there's a rooster around, so this certainty that the eggs are fertilized, how proximate does the rooster need to be? So Amar Gamna Mishmet Rav Kol Hecha Dishama Kal E B'Yamam. So as long as the hen is able to hear the rooster, or the rooster is able to hear the hen, so it's at that point in time that they we can be assured by the fact that the hen was in fact fertilized by the rooster. The egg was fertilized by the rooster. So Avad Rav Mari Uvda Ad Shisimbate. And Rav Mari actually paskin on this, and he said that there was a rooster within 60 houses away from the hen, and he assumes that the egg was fertilized. The Iikanara Lo Avra. Now, if there happens to be a river separating the rooster and the hen, so we can assume that the rooster is not going to cross over the hen to get with the hen, and so therefore the egg is unfertilized. The Iikamavra Avra. Now, if there's a crossing, the rooster is going to go over the crossing. The Iikamitra Lo Avra. But if it's not a real sturdy bridge, but it's just simply some sort of rope crossing, so then the rooster is not going to venture. And then the Gemara says, now it happens to be that there was an incident where we saw the rooster actually go over this rope bridge in order to be within hen. So the Gemara says that as much as we think the rooster is not going to venture, even then the Gemara says it's not totally true. The rooster will risk itself in order to be within hen. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, so in the case where we're going to say that the egg is going to be prohibited, that's talking about an unfertilized egg. So my ir yabada kilo badak nami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so what does an examination help? Meaning, remember, the case was you examined it right before Yantiv, you didn't see it there. Next morning, you wake up pre-dawn, and you see the egg over there. Even without the examination, if it's an unfertilized egg, don't we say that it comes out totally indiscriminate of whether it's day or night? So the Gemara says, "Ki lo badak ema me'as mahavai." So the Gemara says, well, that's not necessarily true. Meaning, even an unfertilized egg, it has a tendency to come out during the day. Meaning, it could come out at night, but its tendency is to come out during the day. So he asks, "Ki badak nami ema yatsa ruba v'chazra, hi uchid Rav Yochanan." So the Gemara says, well, if it has a tendency to come out during the day, so why don't we suggest the following? You checked it right before Yontiv, no egg. You checked it pre-dawn, you found an egg. And again, it's an unfertilized egg, which means that it could have been late at night. But the Gemara says, but I'll give you another possibility, and that is, it actually emerged before Yontiv. Most of it retreated into the hen and came out later, meaning the Rav Yochanan rule. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, look, the chances that the egg went through the Rav Yochanan route of having most of it come out, retreating back in, coming at a later point in time, that's unlikely. Now, earlier we said that that's unlikely, but in the absence of any other explanation, so then we're going to rely on Rav Yochanan. But over here, if we're talking about an unfertilized egg, so there's another just as plausible explanation, which is that the egg was late at night. So under those circumstances, we're not going to rely on Rav Yochanan, but rather we're going to assume that the egg simply came out over the course of the night. Okay, and then the Gemara just follows up with one other halachic statement that happens to be the same Baal Memra, even though it has nothing to do with our discussion. The Amar Rav Yosef ben Shaul Amar Rav Haituma Shechika Sakanta Ligluya. If you have crushed garlic and it was exposed and it was unsupervised, so then we have to worry about Gilui. In other words, the idea that a snake came along, took a bite, inserted venom into it, and therefore poses a sakana. Okay. We are going to finish up now with the next part of the Mishnah regarding the ownership of chametz. Beis Shammai Omrim Sor Bechazayis Ma Ta'amayu De Beis Shammai. If you recall back in the Mishnah, Shitas Beis Shammai is that if in fact you own a kezayis of Seor, so you're in violation by your Abba Yamatsu, but when it comes to the actual chametz itself, so it's a kosevis of chametz. Why is there different shiurim for chametz and seor? So that's a Gemara's question. So my time at the Beis Shammai, imkin lechol rechman chametz v'lo by seor. Because if the Torah just simply wanted to share with us the Isser Abal Yirah Abal Yimatze, it only needed to introduce us to Chametz and not Seor. Va'anamina, and then what we would have done is we would have deduced Eichav HaChomer. Uma Chametz She'en Chimutz HaChametz. Now Chametz, on one hand, is a finished product, meaning it is leavened product, but it's not a... The Gemara describes it as Ein Chimutz HaKasha, meaning it doesn't cause others to become Chametz. And they're the Shir's Kezayis. Seor She'chimutz HaKasha L'Kol She'kein. So, and by virtue of the fact that if chametz in the shear is a kezayis, so the same thing would be true regarding seor. Meaning, if the Torah had not written seor, we would have arrived at that conclusion through what's called a kavachomer. Now, we also know that when it comes to a kavachomer, so we have the rule of da'ila v'omina din lios kenadon, that any halacha that is extended through a kavachomer is only going to have the same result of what we're learning it from. Meaning, if we're learning the halacha from chametz, and the shear for chametz is a kezayis, so then the extended halacha would, to a seor would also be a kezayis as well. Now, that's all if the Torah had not written the word seor, but the Torah did write the word seor. Seor dekasav rechman alamali, lamalacha shir shoseh, lo ki shir shoseh. By virtue of the fact that the Torah did not need to write it, and the Torah wrote it, so that means to say that what we have over here is an opportunity of a... We had a kavachomer opportunity, which the Gemara assumes that the Torah could have made. The Torah, instead of making the kavachomer or allowing us to make the kavachomer, went out of its way to write seor. So that must be telling us that the shiurim are different for seor and for kezayis. But that doesn't get us to the point where we're at right now. How do I know what the shiur for seor is? How do I know the shiur for kezayis is? So even the Gemara's explanation right now is slightly incomplete, but they're not the same shear. Now Beis Hillel will tell you that look, the shear for the two of them are the same. One is in violation of Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh, whether it is a kezayis of chametz or whether it's a kezayis of seor. Why does the Torah write both? Necessary. So tzricha. So the reason why the Torah has to, after having introduced us to Seor, also write chametz as well, is because Seor is a causative. It causes other products to become chametz. So if all I had was Seor, I would not necessarily have known chametz. That's why the Torah has to write chametz. Because Rachman chametz mishum deray lachila av Seor sheim ra lachila im alo tzricha. And as far as even though the Torah wrote chametz, introduced us to chametz as being under the prohibition of Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh, but it's edible. Seor is not edible. So therefore, they're both necessary. Okay. And the Gemara doesn't go over the back and forth, meaning that this Tzrichusa that was just given to us by Beis Hillel, what is Beis Shammai going to do with the Tzrichusa? Isn't Beis Shammai also have to acknowledge that they're both necessary? Okay, so the Gemara stops over there, and so a deeper analysis of the Gemara would have to address the question of what's Beis Shammai going to answer to Beis Hillel. But meanwhile, we're going to go on. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. The statement to Rabbi Zera, which the Gemara assumes is a universally accepted statement, which is that in the same Pasuk, the Torah introduces us to Seor and Chametz. Rashi quotes, that's in Parshas Bo, in Perek and Beis. Anyway, so it opens up with Seor, it then closes with Chametz, and it's a Hekesh, to teach me that they are the same shear. So how can anyone entertain that they're different shearim? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Le'inyan achila kulam lo pligi, as far as the Isser of achila, remember by Chametz there are three Isserim, we went over this in Psachim in the beginning at length. The Isser of eating, the Isser of benefiting, the Isser of ownership. So vis-a-vis the Isser of Achila, so the Gemara says is that the Chametz and Seor are going to be the same. And in that regard, that's Rabbi Zera. In that regard, it's universally held. So keep leaking, but the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is lenyan biur regarding destruction. Otherwise, what we would describe as Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh. Beis Shammai Savre lo yafinim biur me'achila. Beis Shammai is of the position that we are not going to learn out biur from Achila. And Beis Hillel says that no, whatever has been established by Achila, i.e. the Shirim are the same, is also going to be true by the Isser of Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh. It Marnami, the Gemara quotes another statement, which is going to support exactly this understanding. I'm Rav Yosef Rebbe Chenim Machlokas L'Inyan B'Yerav L'Inyan Achila Divra Kol Zeva Zeba Kazayas. So again, the distinction between that the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only as it relates to the Isra of Abayim Rabayim Atzei, but not as it relates to the Isra of Achila. Tanya Me'achi, one more time now in a Braisa. V'lo Yerelecha Se'or or Chametz, V'lo Yerelecha Chametz or Se'or. Okay. Zeh Machlokas Shebein Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Isra is only as it relates to Abayim Rabayim Atzei. Again, the point over here is that the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only as it relates to Bayi Rabbi Yamasa, but not as it relates to Achila. This is where we're going to stop. Quick recap of Beis Daf Zion. So the statement of Rav Huna Merav that started on Vav Amud Beis, that Beitza im Yitziyasa Nigmara, as the egg comes out of the of its mother, meaning when the egg is laid, so at that point in time, it is a finished product. That's the statement of Rav Huna Merav, obviously a halachic statement. What does it mean? The Gemara went through five different possibilities of what it could mean, taking us all the way to Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara goes back to the first suggestion, which the Gemara ended up rejecting. But the first suggestion having to do with the status of the egg that's harvested from a shechted hen, and whether or not it is fleshik, machloks between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yaakov. When the egg is still connectively connected to the mother, according to the Tanakhama, it's parv. According to Rav Yaakov, it's considered fleishik. And then, within this machlokas, Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim, the Gemara went over a brisa regarding nivlas of tahor, and after going through the brisa, tried to litigate whether the brisa is in fact going like Rav Yaakov, whether it's going like the Chachamim. And that takes us to the middle of Zayin Amud Aleph. As we then turn to the second half of Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes through the mating habits of various species, of various biological species, and a correlation between the time that they mate and the time that they deliver their young. And so all this brought us to the discussion regarding birds, specifically hens, but they mate during the day. Therefore, they deliver during the day. And so we can expect an egg to be laid during the day. And the Gemara spends a lot of time taking us all the way to Zayin Amud Beis. What happens if the hen was examined and inspected before Yontif, right before Yontif, and then inspected again on the early morning before daybreak on Yontif, and no egg was discovered before Yontif, and an egg was discovered in the early morning, what assumptions can we make regarding when that egg was laid? So a lengthy discussion in the Gemara that takes us all the way to Zayin Amud Beis. And the last discussion that we had in the Gemara was regarding the Machlos Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, regarding the shear of Chametz. According to Beis Hillel, it's Zev Zebek Hazayis. According to Beis Shammai, a distinction between Seor and Chametz. Sourdough Seor, the shear is a Kosev, is a Kazayis. The Chametz, the shear is a Kosevis. And then the Gemara said, in three different ways, but it comes out to be the same, that the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only as it relates to the Isser of Yerah B'Yamatzeh, but it does not affect the Isser of Achila. For the Isser of Achila, Zeh V'Zeh B'Kazayis.